Okay, so this is called to order for the work session for Thursday, June 3rd, 2021. And now we're going to go to changes 3.501. Like Amy, are you here? Can you hear us? Susan or Amy, can you hear us?
Yes. Okay. So this is Susan Ellinger. I'm the Land Use Review Manager for Community Development. And recently we identified that there was an issue in 4510. We had regularly interpreted the section. It refers to mailing many different kinds of documents. And we had regularly interpreted that word mail to also include emailing documents. Someone was looking in the code and identified a section that specifically referenced email. And because of that reference, it became a discussion point of around if we could interpret mail to include email because the word email specifically was used in the same section. Therefore, we identified that to resolve this issue, we probably needed to make a code change just so it was absolutely clear so we didn't increase the possibility for appeals with any of our decisions. So we are before you this evening to propose some code changes. And I understand that Amy just connected. So I'm going to pass this over to her if she is able to take over. Are you there, Amy? Okay.
Susan, this is Dan. Oh, Jenna, were you just going to note this thing?
Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
We have a new call-in user in the attendee. I'm going to assume that this is Amy and move her over to a panelist.
Actually, because she's a caller, Sonia's just going to have to unmute her, and then we'll have Amy sound.
Oh, the attendee?
So can you unmute call-in user 5 so we can hear Amy?
Okay, hold on. Can't bring it up. Can't bring it up.
It's not working?
No. Huh. Usually the attendee, I can. Okay, here we go. Okay, call in user 5 and I'll mute.
Unmute. Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Ah, thank you. Good evening. Wow, sorry about that. What an odyssey. Good evening. My name is Amy Wooten, and I'm a land use planner. It's a little late to the dance with community development. As Susan already told you, we're here tonight to discuss a proposal to update Title 4510, which is the procedure section of the Title 40 Development Code. Very recently, staff discovered an inconsistency with the code regarding the use of regular mail versus email when sending documents during the preliminary development review process, and subsequently developed some questions regarding those procedures. Most sections of the code state that documents need to be mailed, which has historically been interpreted to allow the use of email instead of regular mail. For the convenience of everybody. However, a few places in the code specify that email can only be used if the recipient gives consent. Because email is specified in these sections, a question arose as to whether staff could interpret the word mail to allow email as well. It seems that this procedural inconsistency became highlighted during COVID stay-at-home orders after some internal discussion, it was decided that the use of email unnecessarily created a potential avenue for appeal. So in order to be in compliance with procedural requirements, staff has reverted to hard copy mailing and has to double up by also emailing all preliminary decision-oriented correspondence, including final pre-application reports, fully complete determinations and preliminary and final decisions. Although this procedure is code compliant, over time it will prove to be unduly consume staff time and greater copying costs and mailing costs. To provide a sustainable solution, staff is proposing a compilation of language changes to the code for Planning Commission approval. And staff has included a correction to a Scrivener's error in 4510.030D6 that was identified while compiling the code changes that are also before you. So the changes that are proposed, include changing references in the code that identify mail to a more general send language. Certain sections will require more specific changes. For instance, all of the sections related to pre-application final report, which currently requires attendees of a pre-application conference to sign a register during the in-person conference. This register allows all attendees to specify how they want to receive the final report by either mail or email, and allows participants who are not listed in the application materials to be included on the distribution list. Remote work has changed this practice because now we're using a web platform for meetings. So proposed revisions to existing language will require that final staff report be sent to all meeting attendees. And since people attend the meetings by with their email addresses, it would go out very easily by email. The change to the Scrivener's error cited in section 4510.030D6 will correct the appeal reference, which currently refers the user to section 4510.0308, which is a citation regarding burden of proof. The change will correctly refer people to section 4510.030I, which is the appeal section. The proposed changes will not affect mailing procedures and requirements that are specifically outlined in other chapters. And by that I mean, say the Gorge section has a specific mailing instruction for some of their reports. It won't change those more specific mailing requirements, but the generalized requirements in 4510. Staff finds the proposed change will positively affect the use of several resources within community development, as costs associated with hard copy mailing of staff reports and hearing examiner decisions will be reduced will reduce staff time in copying, paper costs, stuffing envelopes, and postage. And it will be an additional benefit for applicants as it preserves their appeal window, because the decision, the appeal period starts when the decision is mailed. And so they lose a couple of days waiting for the decision to get to them. Public involvement, staff complied so far with type 4 procedural requirements for code amendments put forth in section 4560.020. In accordance with those procedures, staff issued a notice of SEPA determination of non-significance on May 31st. Any public response to the notice must be received by staff on or before June 14th, but to date, no comments have been received. This afternoon, staff presented the proposed changes to the Development Engineering Advisory Board. They acted generally in favor of the proposed changes. As you can see, we are pushing this issue forward with some urgency, as the change in procedure has had a definite effect on staff time. And so we would like to get this new verbiage approved if we could as soon as possible. Currently, we're scheduled to proceed to formal Planning Commission hearing on June 17th, and follow that with council hearing on July 6th. Based on that schedule, it is anticipated that the effective date for these changes should be around July 16th. I'd like to thank the members of the Planning Commission for your time and consideration, and can be here for any questions that you may have.
I have a question real quick, Matt Swindell. If this is great, it's going to save time. Everybody's going to get more time. When it works well, it sounds like it's going to work really well. Let's say somebody puts down the wrong email address, and so we email it, and it starts the clock ticking. They never receive the email. Do we have anything in place for that? Do we have a backup plan? Do we have anything like that? What do we do in that situation?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Swindell. At this point, we don't really have anything in place for that, but it could just as easily happen if somebody signed a register in the pre-app or signed the application and had messy handwriting and we couldn't decipher what their mailing address was. I don't think that misreading an email address or misreading a handwritten mailing address is really any different. So hopefully it wouldn't be an issue, but no, we haven't included any new language to accommodate that.
Has that happened before where they've had messy handwriting? I have horrible handwriting. I should have been a doctor, but where you can't read the address and so therefore you mail it to the wrong place. I'm sure that's happened sometime. I'm just curious what happens in that case.
Honestly, I have not been privy to that situation in the 5 years or almost 6 years that I've worked at the county. So I think staff typically is very conscientious about the applicant or appellant's rights and responsibilities. And I think if somebody received an address that they couldn't read, be it email or postage mail address, and we couldn't read it, we could call the applicant certainly or the appellant and ask them for clarification.
Okay.
I don't think we just clock run.
So another question would be, if we email it or we mail it and they don't get it, did the clock start ticking? If so, you couldn't read it, we email it, does the clock start ticking the day that it's mailed out? Or is there supposed to be like a red receipt or a certified letter, somebody's signing for it? What's the procedure now?
Yes, once it is in the mail, the clock starts ticking. There is no requirement for certified mail. Okay. For hard copies that go through postage, and there's no read receipt requirement for email.
Do you think that might be a good thing to maybe add as a red receipt, at least? That's a click of a button. It's a pretty simple thing. I don't know. I'm just throwing out there that I'm just seeing that could be a possibility of an issue, but
okay.
Maybe there isn't.
I'm happy to make a note of that.
I don't know, just something for further discussion.
Sorry, Matt, didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I'm done.
Oh, okay. This is Aldo. I read through the material. Two questions came to mind. One of them you answered. The Scrivener's error that you noted there, that was simply an incorrect reference to a section. Is that right? And that's what got created?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, because I was trying to find section 4510.030.D6 in the material that shared, and I didn't see, you know, what that was. I couldn't track that one down. So I'm sure I have missed it, but I just simply did a search on those characters, and I didn't find that exact reference anywhere, and look for it. I didn't see a change bar or a highlighting in the material so that I could see what was being changed. So maybe I missed it.
I'm sorry that you missed it. It is included in the packet of information that you received, and it is, I'm not in control. I'm not driving the presentation right now.
Sure.
So I can't tell you, but if you look carefully through your materials, it should be there. It's really just a missed reference. So when you click the link, it's taking you to a section regarding burden of proof instead of an appeal section, and it's supposed to be going to the appeal section.
Hey, Aldo, Brian here. Page 22 of the form they sent out, or of the attachment.
I mean, I looked through that particular string of, you know, 40 whatnot.
Whoever was scrolling, to start at the top of page 22 right there.
Top of page 22. Where does it say 6D? That's the part I'm missing.
Just 1 second.
I
think it actually starts on the previous page. Oh, slow. There's 6 on 21, and then you come down.
Right. What's 6?
6A.
So there.
6A, 6B.
And it's hard to, look if you see the highlighted area, if you can see the highlight in section A. It's highlighting section 4510030, and it's crossed out the H, and it's inputting an I.
Oh, that's okay. All right, if that's what that means. All right, I missed that. The other question really kind of relates to Matt, what Matt was talking about, and that is we're passing, yeah, we're counting on people writing a good and valid email address, but we've seen and continue to see a disruption in people sending email getting spoofed. And what comes to my mind is there any risk that's been discussed around privacy and security around sending these documents, particularly the ones that are time sensitive? And I know when you do business with the bank, they use secured emails. And in doing that, especially where a signature and acknowledgement is required, they'll use something like DocuSign or something like that to ensure the document gets delivered to the rightful owner. And so I don't know if privacy and security have been considered at any point as we are now relying even more on email than we have in the past.
This is Ron. And let me step in here for just a second. Amy was talking about this in some generalities, but if you look at the material, Aldo, I think you've seen a lot of it. There is a lot of information that is not just for the applicant. It's anybody who wants to be part of the public record or wants to have an understanding of the outcome. And so we are really talking about what could be a significant number of people that the county needs to distribute information to for any one of these items. If the discussion is that the applicant is handled differently than the public at large, as far as some sort of secure interest, I think maybe this is what you could bring forward as a proposal when we go to the hearing, and staff could then bring that up, talk about it, and present something to council. But I think we need to be very clear that the number of changes that are in this document do not all reside just in the burden for the applicant of some sort of appeal, right? So we have to think about anything that once it goes out into the public venue, then there's an opportunity for dozens of people to be part of it. And this gets back to what Amy was saying, is then it's a matter of saying, how clearly did they give you their email? The one nice thing about what we're doing in this online environment is now we're talking about keystrokes rather than handwriting.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. So the chances of bad spelling now comes down to it is actually bad spelling and not a misinterpretation of what was written. But I think this is good dialogue for us in the context of saying, as we go through this, perhaps there are particular items in here on all that's being changed, ones where we want to handle different groups of people, maybe in a different security fashion.
Certainly, or different types of communications, especially personally identifiable information, where if the transmission were disrupted or distorted in some way, that it could have a negative impact that we had not considered. So absolutely, it's important to be clear on classifying the communications. If it's a public announcement, then that would default to one particular email method. But if it were specific to the applicant, I think there are other considerations that we should explore to maintain privacy, confidentiality, and integrity of that communication.
Could I jump in, please?
Yeah, I was about to myself too, Chris, but I'll defer to you for a second. I think you're probably going to do what I'm going to talk about.
These documents aren't private. They're public. They are all public records. What is in them is public. So there is no privacy interest that anybody has in these documents. That is not, I think, something that we should spend a great deal of time worrying about, to the extent that the county doesn't worry about that stuff already. And I think there are a bunch of people from IT who would tell you that they do. But there is nothing private, no private information.
So what about the transmission of the document to the recipient? It is as it even, you know, regardless of the content, then if it doesn't make the destination because of some internet issue?
That's the way it goes. At that point, if there is a legal issue about it, people start making
noise,
swearing out declarations or affidavits about who sent what when. Let me tell you that when we have had other, not in community development, but in community planning, when we have had mailings that have had to go out to 1,000 people.
Right. Every month. Some of them
get
That makes sense.
Because the wrong addresses are there.
Yeah.
What is the difference? I would submit that there is none, and that this is permissive rather than a requirement. So it is something that makes things easier.
Okay.
So Chris, let me jump in here for a second. This is Susan Ellinger again. And I would just add to what Chris had said, in that we tend to have less problems with email and mailings because we do get hard copy mailing addresses from the assessor's office, and not everyone updates the assessor's office with their correct information. All of our initial notices are hard copy mailed, and then people have the option of contacting us back through email. So we actually get an email from them, meaning that, you know, we have their actual correct address. So we tend to have less problems with email addresses than we do with mailing addresses.
Okay. I have no more questions. Thank you.
This is Ron. I think for the purpose of the hearing on the 17th, Amy, if you could take a brief moment when it comes to the Scrivener's error, break that out and highlight that for us, just so everybody in the public doesn't have to be searching through the document, or for those that didn't take the time to read it. That's the one thing that's item is somewhat unique in comparison to everything else. I think that would be helpful.
Sure, I can do that. Are we still here? Hello?
I believe he left at 6 o'clock.
All right. So I guess I will take over. Vice Chair, do we have additional questions for staff?
Yeah, Brian here.
Go for it, Brian.
Yeah. Amy, you mentioned that you presented it to the DEAB board. And did they have any comments that you could share with us?
No, not really. They generally supported the idea. They appreciate receiving staff reports and staff notifications, like fully complete and their pre-application reports, as soon as they're ready to go. Email takes time out for them, and they're not sifting through, you know, layers of paper. So they were generally very supportive of the changes.
Great, thanks.
So do we have any further questions for staff?
I'm good.
It doesn't look like it. So
I have never attended a PC session, so I'm not sure what is my role at this point.
In the work session?
Yeah.
Well, Amy, you were on board to give us the presentation and to answer questions. And I think since the Planning Commission appears to be out of questions, you have done your due diligence.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
Anything else from Planning Commission?
Nope.
No? Everybody going to make the meeting on the 17th? It sounds like they want to button this one up and get it done.
I plan to be there.
I'll be there.
All right. Well, we got quorum right there.
Okay.
All right. So, Sonia?
Yes.
I guess we're turning it back over to you with an adjournment.
Okay. We have nothing else on the agenda.
Right.
And we should have a quorum on the 17th, so we're fine. We have no meetings in July, and I'll get back with you in mid-July about the August Planning Commission agenda. I believe we're going to be having annual reviews. I'll be working okay. with Jose.
All right. Sounds like the plan.
Yep.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right. Take
care. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, come on.